Father God, we just thank you because without you, we are nothing. Because you are everything, God. And everything good in us is because of you and you alone. And we give you all the praise, all the glory, and we just say thank you, God, for what you are about to give to us today. And I just want to thank you, God, that you allow me to do that. Because you are everything. And we love you, and we just thank you, Lord, and bless everybody here in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. I was praying about today's message last night. Well, actually, early morning. It was probably around 2 o'clock in the morning. Couldn't sleep, so I was just kind of like tossing and turning in bed. And I was like, I got to pray. So I'm praying. And as I do, this one thought comes to mind. And I know that Jesus wants you to hear this. And this is for all of us, but probably specifically for people, somebody in this room or watching on the video camera, is God still heals. God still delivers. He is more alive today as he ever was. His power is for today. It never ceased. His power is real. And I promise you, you will see it. His power is real. And he loves you. And I just want you to know, as I'm preaching today, I hope there will be a point where God highlights somebody to me. And what that means is God is saying, he's highlighting somebody. So if I do get that highlight, and it's like, whoa, where are we going here? I was talking about the power of Jesus still being more real today than it ever was, because there is power in his name. And if God highlights somebody to me today, as I'm preaching, I will stop and release that message over them. And it could come in a thing of delivery, it could come a thing of healing, or just a word of encouragement, because he is awesome and he loves you. Amen. Okay, guys, I hope you have your Bibles, because we're at church. You guys got no Bibles? I think you guys got. Get your Bibles. Get them Bibles out. We are going to be in Matthew chapter 21 today. We're going to be talking about Palm Sunday, if you hadn't already guessed. But we are starting and continuing. And there, like Hannah last week, kind of started our new series, Resurrection Hunters. She was kind of tailing off from the one that was before, Everyday Hunger. And now we're getting into Resurrection Hunters. And my message today is kind of straddles that, like she did last week, but mine's more into this Palm Sunday as it was more into Everyday Hunger. Though, as we get into it, I hope you see him through it all. Resurrection Hunters. We're going to be in Matthew 21, but we got some key things we got to go through before we can get there. Resurrection Hunters. Resurrection isn't just a one-time event. It's a life-changing and has power for today. This month, the month of April, we are unpacking how Jesus' resurrection impacts our everyday lives, bringing hope, healing, and giving us purpose right where we are, no matter what we're doing. The cross wasn't the end. It was just the end of the beginning. It's the start of something that changes everything every day. Some of me wants you to see past the cross, because there's power in that. And that's where we live today. Amen. But the cross was necessary to bring us to a point where we can live in the power of the resurrection. It talks in Philippians about living in the power of the resurrection. And there's power in his resurrection. When you get born again, there is a power that you can live in because of what he did on the cross. So see the cross. Know what has been done for you there. Be thankful for it. But realize you live beyond the cross in the power of his resurrection. You go more into that next week. I don't want to steal Hannah's thunder. But there is power in his resurrection. Amen. Whew. Today's, or Resurrection Hunter's key verse for this month is Luke chapter 24, verses 4 through 6. And this has to take place in the morning. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" Why do we look for things in places that are dead? Ooh. He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you? Jesus told you this, why he was still with you in Galilee. Don't try to look for life in areas that you have put to death. He's not there. He is risen. Go to where he's promised you. He would meet you. Even in the darkest areas, though, you can find him. Just look to him. He's there. Today's message, a Palm Sunday message, is this very cool one. I like the title of this one, if I don't say so myself. The Humble King. The Humble King. And our key verse for today is Matthew 21, verse 5. Say to the daughter of Zion, "Behold, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." Jesus, the humble king. I want to talk to you today about being humble, just like Jesus was and is. Palm Sunday, a triumphal entry. I'm going to start in verse 1 in chapter 21 of Matthew. You guys there? I gave you guys time. Uh-oh, Hannah. It says here in verse 1, when they had approached Jerusalem and had come to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent out two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied there and a colt with her," her little baby. "Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them.' And immediately he will send them." I was reading this the other day, and as I read that, "immediately he will send them." In a time of need, in a time of need, God will send you what you need. He will send you what you need. "Immediately he will send them. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet." So the key verse for today, This is not only said here, it is also said in the Old Testament. And it is to prove the Old Testament to be true, the prophecy there. This is why Jesus had to do what he did when he did it. Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of the beast of burden. The disciples went and did just as Jesus had instructed them, and brought the donkey and the colt, and laid their coats on them, and he sat on the coats. Most of the crowd spread their coats in the road, and others cutting branches from the trees, spreading them on the road. The crowd going ahead of him and those who followed were shouting, Hosanna, son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. When he had entered Jerusalem, all the city was stirring, saying, who is this? And the crowds were saying, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. Ooh. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. God save us. There was a desperation. Hosanna in the highest. Save us. When Jesus entered Jerusalem that Sunday, it was at the end of a very long journey that had started all the way up in the north of Israel. Jesus' ministry lasted for 3 years, and at one point he worked his way all the way up to a town called Caesarea Philippi, which is in the very north of Israel. You can't even get any further north and away from Jerusalem at this point. He was so far up. And at that point, when he was up there, there was a point where he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And from that point on, he worked his way back to Jerusalem. And now it's where he is as he's entering the city. On the back of a humble donkey, he rode in. Wow. Not what you'd think a king would be riding on. Unfortunately, I had pictures lined up for us today, but I didn't get them put up on the screen. So if you could look up at the screen and just imagine. There was a big war horse that I had, a Frisian. If you've ever seen a Frisian, these things are massive. That's my idea of a war horse, a man's horse. Riding it on a man's horse in the town, victorious. But he didn't do that. She could see it. But he didn't do that. He rode in on a donkey. And you know what else is true? It wasn't just a donkey, it was a girl donkey. It was a humble donkey. But it was the most opposite of what you would think would happen for a triumphal king to enter a city. You would think he'd be riding on a war horse. You think he'd be coming in with his crew, and everybody would know it. Because the people of Jerusalem, they know what it's like to be conquered. Because in 63 BC, that's when the Romans came in. They besieged the city of Jerusalem. Then they broke free and got in there, and then they took it over. And when the Romans came in, they didn't come riding in on donkeys. No, 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 no. When they came in, once they beat your town, they would secure the town. Then they would bring the leadership in. The general who had sacked your town and won would come in battle array. And you would see them coming for miles and miles because there'd be thousands and thousands of soldiers. And you'd hear them in their cadence and they'd be stomping, knowing loud enough that you would hear it miles away. Before you could even see them, you'd start hearing this thud in the distance. Then you'd start hearing their voices echoing through the hills and the mountains. Then all the city's people would come out and see these thousands and thousands of soldiers coming over the hills and coming into the town. Then when they got to the town, the general would be riding right up in the middle of the front of it all. I conquered this town. Don't you dare ever come against me. That's what it was about. The king's triumphal entry, that's what people thought of when it happened. Don't you mess with me. I conquered this town. But Jesus comes in on a humble donkey. He had chosen that to fulfill prophecy. He had done that too. Because not only do kings come into cities that they've conquered, they do that when they come into cities they've liberated. What they saw in the flesh was they needed liberation from the Romans. They were under tyranny. They were under a dictatorship. There were despots above them. They couldn't live the life they wanted to live. They were bowed down under the boot of the Roman. They were looking to Jesus to look for deliverance in the natural. Jesus, come, save us now. Get the Romans off of us. Are you the one who is here to get that rule away from us? But Jesus came in on a donkey because he was fighting a foe that was bigger than anything the Romans could put up. He was there that day because he was about to see the cross and the foe of sin and death, which for the most part, I don't think the people that day could see. They just saw somebody who was trying to deliver them from the Romans. The people that day came in and saw him and waved their palm branches in front of him, saying, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. In other parts of Scripture, it says, if they didn't say that, even the rocks would cry out, Hosanna in the highest, God save us. But still Jesus remained humbled. Jesus entered the city of peace to bring true peace, because he was the Prince of Peace. He came not only as a conquering king, but he also came as a liberating king. He was there to set people free in the spiritual, which is a bigger battle than sending somebody free in the natural. Has Jesus set you free in the spiritual? I wanted to talk a little bit about Jesus' humility. I'd gotten a message a few weeks ago when we were still in everyday hunger. I was praying, and God's like, everyday humility, everyday humility. Because when you walk in true humility, you can walk out the attributes that we had talked about during that message series. Worshiping God, being generous, reading your word, all those things with him and being humble puts you in a place where you can receive and a place where you can do all those attributes. We see Jesus here and we see true humility in all its aspects. Jesus, somebody who literally could come in there on the biggest horse and proclaim that day, I am the king. He was proclaiming that. And when people put this, the coats down and the thing, they were proclaiming it too, that they saw him as the king. If there was anybody who could have made much of himself that day, it was him. But he didn't. He remained humble. This is what true humility looks like. When you walk in your identity in Christ and you see yourself as God sees you, and then you can walk humbly before him because you know your true identity. Jesus knew who he was. He knew there was a purpose and a plan when he came there that day. It wasn't to make much of himself. It was to make much of his Father, because it was his passion to go to the cross. He was a king. He is a king. He came humbly so we can see what true humility looks like, so we can be delivered from the things that we think we can be delivered from. Ooh. Some of you here today think you've gone too far. But I'm here to tell you, you have not. Amen. He is here to deliver you. The humble king humbled himself to the point of death, even death on a cross, so he can deliver you from the worst pit that you think you found yourself in, no matter how far you think you have gone. I know that doesn't kind of make sense to what I'm saying, but somebody in this room needed to hear that right then, and I know it to be true. God loves you, and he's paid the ultimate price for you. He humbly went to the cross so he can see you and you can see him. I promise you, you are not too far gone. His arm is not too far short. It is long enough for you. There is a hope in what I just said, because I know it to be true. Jesus came for you. And me. Humility looks like walking in your identity in Christ. Jesus came in there. He was confident. But he knew he came there for a purpose. He came there for the people that were around him, declaring him to be king that morning. He came peaceful. He was quiet and calm. He didn't boast. He had a purpose. He knew there was a purpose for why he was there that day and at the end of the week. He knew it wasn't done when he came in his triumphal entry. His king's procession wasn't the end. He was respectful. And he was compelled by love. He was there to liberate the ones he loved. He was there to liberate you and me. True freedom. He was there because he loves us. And as we go on in our series, you will see that this was a beginning, a true humble king. So what are we to do? It says in 1 Peter 5:6-7, "Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time." And you're like, oh man, that's a lot of pressure. I gotta humble myself. But If you have any worry whatsoever, it keeps on saying, cast all your anxiety on him. Cast all your cares on him. Why? Because he cares for you. Walk humbly before your King. It says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, humble yourself. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus chose to be obedient to what God had for him in his life. It was his plan all along that one day a sinful world would be brought back to him by what he did on the cross and his obedience. He humbled himself to that point. Being humble is a choice. When you realize what the good God has done for you in your life, be grateful for it. Know that God has given you the ability and your gifts for a reason. Know that you're here for a purpose that's bigger than yourself. And keep your eyes on Jesus. I love Palm Sunday. And if I did have my pictures up, which I forgot, I did have them, you would see pictures of palm trees, because palm trees are my favorite plant, tree, especially the date palm, because it's a desert palm. They laid these palms before him, and they put their jackets, their coats on the back of the donkey, and they put their coats on the ground, and they said, Hosanna in the highest. But I'm reminded that they said, Hosanna in the highest, come save us. But on Friday, they all said, crucify him. Keep your eyes on him. Keep your eyes on what he's doing in your life, what he's done in your life, and what he wants to do in and through you. Keep your eyes on him and have that example of the humble King that came to serve a world that was lost and dying so he could save it. And we are called to serve the lowest of the low and to treat them with respect. Sometimes I run into people, they think they have humility, but it's not humility. It's like a fake humility. They run themselves down. They think, this is true humility if I think less of myself, I think I'm stupid or I'm ugly or I'm dumb. That's not the humility I'm talking about. I'm talking about walking in the humility of your identity in Christ when you truly know who you are and how he sees you and the worth you have. Then you can serve the least of these with a smile on your face because you know you have worth that's beyond anything you can imagine. Keep your eyes on him, the humble King. Being humble helps us in our everyday hunger habits, as we talked about last month. It enables us to walk in our true identity in Christ and live out the habits and the callings that we have in him because what he has done. Our humble King, who came in on a humble donkey so we could relate to him, a humble man, for his people he loved, to the point of death, even death on a cross. God loves you. And now I have something special for you. You're like, what? What could be more special than Palm Sunday? Well, come back next week and you'll see. I was thinking about this last night. I like preaching on Palm Sunday, and I like the idea of preaching on the Sunday after, because those things involve choices. We choose to make him King. We choose to follow him. Resurrection Sunday is all Jesus, all God. I mean, we put him up there on the cross, but it was God who resurrected him from the dead and gives us resurrection power. But it's after that day, the Sunday after, where it's a choice to believe in that and to walk into the power and to get born again and walk out your life completely and totally everything for him. I love talking about that because the cross is amazing and awesome, but we really have nothing to do with it. After that, we can choose it. We can choose life. We can choose life. Some of you need to choose life this morning. Amen. And now, remember the humble king. Remember to humble yourself before God. And now I have something special for you. Did you know America has a small Palm Sunday story in and of itself? Did you guys know that? This is just a little something that I found out the other day. In our history, America's history, a Palm Sunday American story. On a Palm Sunday over 160 years ago, two men sat a few feet apart from each other in a parlor room in a house in Northern Virginia. The older of the two was in his 60s and the younger was 43. They had known each other well to a point, though they had only met face to face around 15 years ago one time. The older man was there that afternoon to accept a lost he dreamed that would never come. The younger man was there because he had won something few thought he could. At this point, a nation split in two began to come together. A nation, though young, had grown faster and bigger than almost any other. Now, while these two men sat across one another, the younger one handed the older one the terms of surrender. If he agreed to the terms, the four-year war would end for the most part that day. The older man looked over the relatively few words and agreed and said, this would go well, this would go good for his men. They would surrender unconditionally, put down their arms, and go home. Those soldiers who had chosen to fight against their mother country were promised that day no harm would come to them if they followed the laws of the land and the government they once left. The younger general knew, the younger general, known for his grit, showed great mercy that day, knowing how much it would go into healing and bringing the men on both sides together. The older general, who just a few hours earlier tried to find a way to keep the war going and stopped only when he heard the news that all roads south were blocked. He had to resign to the fact that morning that for him and the cause that he fought for was now utterly defeated. That Palm Sunday, there was no triumphal entry by a huge army, just a few men on both sides and a house in a small town most would never know about, where two men came together to show a nation it could be won again. As one Union soldier who was there put it, his name was Lieutenant Colonel Eli Parker. He was a full-blooded Seneca Indian from New York. At the end of the signing of the treaty, or the end of the signing of the surrender terms, General Lee came to him and said, I'm glad there is at least one American in this room. Parker looked up at him, a Native American, a full-blooded Indian, looked up at him and said, we are all Americans here. That Palm Sunday, a humble general, U.S. Grant, became a legend. And the legendary general, Robert E. Lee, was humbled. American Palm Sunday story. Because this happened on Palm Sunday over 160 years ago. Men became humble to help heal a nation that was divided. They came together. We came together. Our humble nation on a Palm Sunday, not unlike the one today. Remember your king who humbled himself. Remember to humble yourself, to walk in your identity in Christ, so that you can show the world that there is a God, and to walk out everything God has for you. When you have your palm branch today, and you wave it, and you say, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, come and save us. Remember that he has, he will, and he will continue to do so. Don't let your palm branch fall down without remembering he is the king. And know this. He came in on a donkey, but he's coming back on a war horse.